post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to The Near Post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. With me in the studio, as always, is Russ Gibbs. How are you, Russ?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good to have you here. And joining us tonight is Bernie Lustiger. Bernie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, mate. Good to be back.
Good to have you talking football. Now, we've got coming up in the show, we're going to talk Newcastle Jets, of course. It's been a big week for them, and we're going to start our preview of the fifth and the biggest ever Hyundai A-League season. We've got all the turmoil, opinions, facts, rumours, quiz, dedications, more. And for Canberra listeners, stay with us. Coming up around 7 o'clock, we've got a big interview with Eddie Senatore. Peter Fennell catches up with Eddie. You can email us at nearpost2exit@gmail.com or catch the podcast on the blog www.nearpost.blogspot.com. We dedicate the show every week. This week, a team that definitely needs a dedication, the Newcastle Jets. We're going to dedicate it to them. They're in a little bit of turmoil, but as we find out very shortly, they've appointed a new coach already. And if you didn't know, their other coach has already gone. The quiz question this week is, it's a bit Newcastle Jets focused, name six Socceroos who have left the Newcastle Jets in the last 4 years.
To the Central Coast, from Melbourne Victory, hear the Queensland roar. This is the Near Post, going coast to coast.
The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the Near Post, get there first.
Okay, Bernie, I'm going to start with you as our special guest this week. Can you name, well, let's get going, name one of six, at least. There's more than six, but six Socceroos have left the Newcastle Jets in the last 4 years.
I'll start with two. O'Conn and Zelich.
O'Conn and Zelich, two blasts from the past, and a good one to start with, Russ.
What about Joel Griffiths?
Joel Griffiths, yeah, keep going. Bernie?
Oh, Joel Griffiths.
He's struggling, Russ.
I'm fairly hopeless on the Newcastle Jets.
Turkish Mile Jelinek? No, he was Mariners.
No, he was a Mariners. There you go. Yeah, no, bad one. I've got you. I've got your boys.
Stumped. Yeah, Newcastle Stumped. Jets isn't my strong point.
It's not okay.
We need Michelle here, really.
Yeah. Bernie, last chance?
Yeah, last chance. No.
Come on. Tricky is the word. Who is he? Tricky?
Nicky Carl.
Tricky Nicky. Okay, yeah.
Well, of course, Nicky Carl.
Yeah, and you've got, of course,
goes without saying.
You've got Adam Griffiths has played against Singapore for the Socceroos, and also, who else? You've got James Holland. Stuart Michalak got a gig along the way. Ante Kovic, there's probably a whole heap more, but Nikolai Topper-Stanley. Oh, he hasn't left, he's just joined them back now. But there's a whole heap there. Mark Bridge, did he get a game with the Socceroos?
I think he did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so basically,
handed out caps to anyone in the Asian Cup,
Clearly, and Mark Milligan, of course. And clearly, as you become a Socceroo with Newcastle Jets, it's time to move on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so any club that loses that many Socceroos is in 4 years, I mean, you've got some problems. Now, heaps of news this week. Some people said this was going to be a quiet week on the show, not much going on, but let's get into it. Russ, what is the big news of the night?
Well, I think Gary Van Engman's resigned from the Newcastle Jets to take up position as senior coach at the AIS.
Certainly has, and quickly to be replaced by...
Branko Cilina has been named Newcastle Jets boss for the next 2 years.
We'll chat about that in a moment. Chris Coyne not expected to play in Australia next year despite Perth chasing them.
Well, Colchester are very happy with him at the moment, I believe. Lucas Neal to Galatasaray, maybe, to join the Australian exodus to Turkey?
Yeah, maybe just agent talk, but there you go. Glasgow Evening Times reporting that Scott McDonald was the subject of a $12.3 million bid by Hull, but the Tigers manager Phil Brown is not interested. We will only bring strikers in that will improve the situation, Brown told the Hull Daily Mail. So I don't know what that says about our Socceroos hero and the guy who lost Celtic the title, Scott McDonald. But anyway, there you go.
Okay, Vitaslav Levitska, Sydney's coach, happy with their 4-0 win over Fury.
Korean Shin In Sup has joined Adelaide on a 2-year deal, and South Korean defender Sung Hwai Byun has joined Sydney FC.
And that's from our Korean expert, thank you there, Russ. And the Mariners, Central Coast Mariners, fantastic to see. They've lodged their development application for a centre of excellence, and if you get a chance to have a look at what they're planning, it really shows the future for football, really. It's fantastic. So it's expected to get going in 6 months, so hopefully that goes ahead.
Okay, and the Gold Coast win 5-0 in New Caledonia, Adelaide down Perth, and watch out for Gold Coast youth team player and recent goal scorer Gogo Mabratu. Erishian from Sudan, now playing for the Gold Coast. I've actually watched him play, and he's something to look at.
We're going to preview the Gold Coast in a minute, and we'll catch up with your thoughts there, Bernie. Adelaide United and North Queensland Fury taking a game to Darwin this weekend. And interestingly, the curtain raiser is Borroloola, the team that we, the Indigenous team. They're going to play the Northern Territory Select under 18 team.
Under 14 girls are taking part in the Asian Football Confederation's Festival of Football in Ho Chi Minh City, and the inaugural Indigenous Football Festival kicks off on Saturday in Townsville.
And two teams in camp, Westfield Young Matildas are in camp in Sydney ahead of their AFC qualifiers, and also the Qantas Next Young Socceroos training camp are in Sydney. Bernie, the Next Young Socceroos, what are they? Or who are they?
Yeah, there's a few names. There's a couple from the Gold Coast. Obviously, Stephen Lustig is one of them. Mitch Bevan that I know of, and there's three other boys from the Gold Coast that I know. So there's a good crop for you from Sydney FC.
A couple of overseas boys, are there?
Yeah, there's one boy that played in the Youth Olympics in January, and he's with it's Kieran Backus. He's a good player. He's in Real Mallorca at the moment, I think. So, yeah, some good young talent there, and they're going to be the next young Socceroos.
Yep, okay, and finally the AFC Futsal Club Championships. New South Wales Thunder expected to take on Wuhan Dilong from China in Estefan, Iran as part of the AFC Championship. It's been cancelled due to the disturbances in Iran, so I don't know when that's going to be played. So I guess the lads from New South Wales won't be too happy with that. Okay, we're going to get into the first topic of the week. I guess we're going to talk Newcastle Jets. First of all, Gary Van Egmond's resigned. They went out last week against the Pohang Steelers. Russ, you predicted that they would get flogged. I think I'd said... you said they'd win. I think I
yeah, whatever.
I said they'd get flogged. But they did get flogged 6-0. What were your thoughts on the game?
Well, they were never in it, were they? Let's be honest. They were beaten by a much better team. They looked sluggish. They looked like they'd been out without a proper football match for a long time. And Pohang were ruthless.
Yeah,
scored
good
goals.
Is it impossible? I mean, they did have the two centre-backs out, and they lost Adam Griffiths, who'd since gone to the Gold Coast. So really, I mean, they lost three of the main players. Was it always an uphill battle, do you think, Bernie?
Yeah, it was. I'm a little bit on the other end, thinking they're in pre-season, Pohang are in middle of this season. It's a bit tough to expect a quarter-final, one-off leg to play away against such a quality side. The Steelers did play in the Mariners group, as far as I know, and they didn't wallop the Mariners in either of the games. So, it's a bit unfortunate, the timing. And I think this was the first time the quarterfinals of the last 16 was played, because previously only one team went through. This time it was two.
Yeah, so not too good.
They made it hard for themselves, didn't they, giving away the early penalty then a bad bit of defence from Joe Poilhouse.
A bad bit of defence, that's an understatement.
Despite Ben Kennedy doing his best to stop the 1-1. I mean, when you're 2-0 down, it's all over there. And to cap it all, Steve-O scored
for the Pohang. But interestingly, of course, Gary Van Egmond resigned pretty soon afterwards. Obviously, he knew, he must have known he was on the way. So what are your thoughts on that, Russ? He's headed off to the AIS as the senior coach under the head coach of Jan Verslaan.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know his ins and outs as to actually why he's done it, but I can only assume that there's greater job security for him at the AIS. And, I can't blame him. It's a secure position. It's an opportunity to work with a lot of young players. Young players, incidentally, which once they play for his team, like he's been bringing them through at Newcastle, he knows a young talent when he's seen them. And obviously, I think from his own point of view, from a security point of view, it's the right move for him.
I think it's a big loss, though, to the A-League. I mean, he has brought on a lot of young players, more than probably any other club. But also, he's seen more players, as we mentioned, all those guys that leave to the Socceroos. Must be incredibly frustrating for a coach who is, gaining a reputation for producing quality football teams. And we don't have too many of those sort of coaches, it seems, at the moment in Australia. But he's one, Aurelio Vidmar, probably another, Ernie Merrick. But, so... Do you think the situation there at Newcastle, where the players have been going, there's been a lot of media talk, it's just been too hot for him to handle?
Yeah, I think it has. I've known Gary for a while, and he's come through Newcastle. He's coached in the old NSL. He had the assistant job for a while. So he's been around developing younger players and coaching at a high level for a while now. And I probably saw the writing on the wall. He won a championship, got the wooden spoon last year, got into the quarterfinal Asian Cup. Doesn't know, probably didn't strengthen his squad as what he'd liked. And like Russ said, security in a job for 4 years, a good salary.
They're talking about $200,000, which is interesting that there's such money now floating around for a head coach at the RIS, which, I mean, I guess it's a good thing that you can, when you can attract real quality. But I would like to have seen him stay at club level, but probably Newcastle was never going to be, you know, the easiest place to stay.
As Bernie mentioned, I think once they won the championship, losing all those players in a very quick space of time obviously undermined what he was trying to build there, and maybe he wasn't getting the support that he wanted from above. I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of the Newcastle Jets you know, hierarchy there.
What about the drug? The drug of being in the dressing room, you know, it's a totally different thing when you're with a group of boys for, you know, 15, 16-year-olds, 2 years, you know, it's all very nice. You can develop them, you can take them away to a tournament. But you're in the drug in the A-League, you know, you're getting the media on your case when you're winning. There's no greater high for a football coach. That's going to be a big thing, I reckon. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody comes along and entices him back.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, I know Gary quite well, and he's a very good student of the game, and he takes things very seriously. He does like to play possibly the Dutch style. He is his nickname is Dutchie, so he does have a Dutch background.
The FFA have appointed him by mistake.
he's going to work well. Wherever he's gone, he's done a good job. So, yeah. You know, it's FFA are doing a great job in setting up the A-League. We're qualifying for World Cups. We're looking at better coaching throughout the country. So, you know, I see it as a good step for Gary.
If someone of that standard is going to apply for a job at the AIS, I mean, obviously it's great for the AIS, and they're not going to turn him down, are they? Someone of that magnitude.
Well, it's interesting as well that some people have said that, you know, we're only going to attract foreign. So this is like the first Australian appointment, and that shows some faith that the FFA do have in their own, in Australian coaches. And even the Dutch guys, Pim Verbeek, Jan Versleijen, obviously keen to get or see that the Aussies are up to standard. So it's perhaps just changing the times.
I think it's unusual. I mean, it's an unusual move. Obviously, we don't see many, as you call, top-level professional coaches making a move into a job like an academy job until the end of their careers, usually. So I think it's the novelty value, really, which has struck most people. He's in the prime of his coaching career at the moment. And to take a step away from professional football to run an academy.
It's a good point, Ross. In the Premier League in England, you wouldn't think one of those coaches would drop into the Lillishaw in the FFA. I've never heard of it happening, really, apart from Howard Wilkinson, who probably wasn't a coach anyway.
Yes, I wish he hadn't done that, but no, that's a different story.
Because England did base their whole structure on that. Now, Branko Cilinic has taken the job. We're a national show, but we're based here in Canberra. So, Russ, probably before your time, but Branko Cilinic was, of course, Canberra Cosmos coach. So we love him dearly. And interestingly, just yesterday, he was saying that he would not take a job in the A-League because he was still a bit stressed over, and bitter, I think was the word, over how he left the circumstances in Sydney FC. Not 3 minutes later, he's got the job.
He wouldn't take a job in the A-League because he already had one, which is probably...
maybe that's right. So, I mean, I actually liked when he started playing with Sydney in the Asian Champions League. I thought he got them playing quite nicely. He did a good job, but it all went downhill as soon as the season came on. And he came down to a game here in Canberra for pre-season. He just wasn't interested. He was worn out. He didn't want to be travelling. And it was like, why am I here in Canberra? And I thought, well, hang on, mate. You might feel like that. But that's not what you say when you're visiting people in Canberra. So to me, he just seemed to be not fully aware of what was required. And I mean, my God, he's probably gone into the hardest job in world football in terms of... it's going to be chaos, isn't it?
He's had a bit of time off, so maybe he's refreshed himself and he's ready for the challenge. And it's, like you say, it's going to be a challenge and a half at Newcastle. They've got great potential, good supporter base. I only hope that they can... get back to the form they showed a few years ago.
Bernie, you've probably got some inside knowledge on Branko. How is he going to relate to the players, do you think? I mean, obviously there's a strong group of players, not least headed by Lebo Milicevic. I mean, that is a crucial relationship.
I'm waiting to hear what Lebo has to say. I'm just going to be searching the website soon because he's got some great comments.
You won't have to wait too long either. No, that's one thing with Lebo.
I just got a comment here from that I picked up off the net, and it said, Branko said, I want to have another crack to show people that I deserve better than what happened to me at Sydney, he said before flying out. So, you know, I think he's got a bit of a burning desire to show people that he was given the door too quickly. And, you know, if you look back on Branko's career, wherever he's gone, he's shaken it up early, and in most cases, he's done a good job. So, you know, possibly could turn...
That's an interesting point. He has shaken things up early, but is he able to sustain it? Well, and I think that's the same even back here in Canberra. I mean, he did quite a reasonable job for a while, and then he never managed to get us beyond that. And Sydney, I say in Asia, I mean, he got some good results there, and they look like they're capable of playing a bit of football, but then it all went... sort of pear-shaped once the league started. So, you know, is he just a bit of a a short-term option.
Well, we'll wait and see, I suppose. We will.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we've got 2 years with Branko, or maybe 2 weeks.
Should be interesting, though, when they play Gold Coast.
It will be very interesting to see what tactics he sends out on his son, won't it? But it all adds to the league. Okay, we're going to look at the preview of the A-League, the 10 teams, and we're going to have a look at our first two.
Who's top of the A-League and who's coming last? The near post, get there fast.
Okay, it's not that long to go. There's only about 4 or 5 weeks, maybe 4 weeks left to the start of the A-League season. 5 weeks, I think. We've got 10 teams this year, more teams, and we're going to look at this week at the first two, the North Queensland Fury and Gold Coast United. We should reveal, should we, Bernie, our emotions, which club we're associated with.
I started off supporting Sydney last year. Now I've got to go and change my allegiances to the Gold Coast reasons.
Point out, Stephen Lustiger, Bernie's son, is a youth team member of the Gold Coast and just got his first youth team contract, so we wish him well. But that doesn't stop us from analysing these two teams. North Queensland Fury we start with. Russ, new team in the league. I mean, they're chalk and cheese, these teams, but let's get into the Fury. What are you've been looking at the pre-season results?
Yeah, they made a lot of headlines off the field, obviously, for the signing of Robbie Fowler, yet to play a game, I understand. He's going to make his debut on the 15th of July, I believe, against Wolves in Perth.
I believe
so. It'll be interesting to see how Robbie goes. But so far, 4 matches they've played against A-League opposition, scored none, conceded 11, got thumped by Sydney FC at Shark Park Cronulla the other week, 4-0. I understand Ian Ferguson, the coach, was particularly unhappy with the performance. Looking at their squad on paper, we were talking about it off-air beforehand, it seems to be a collection of, with all due respect, cast-offs and, you know, people that have had a go and they're back for more. It's difficult to see how they're going to make an impression in this first season. It's great to see them there, but it'll be difficult to see how they make an impression in the A-League.
Bernie, what are your thoughts on the playing squad there?
Yeah, I was just looking through the squad, some players that did play regularly last year in Beau Bush, Robbie Middleby, Jacob Tipano did come back and from a long-term injury at Sydney FC last year. Ufuk Talo is quite a good player. Brendan Santalab scored a few good goals last year. There's some decent players there, but their early results show that, you know, they're destined for the wooden spoon.
They are destined for the wooden spoon.
It's going to be difficult. You know, you've got your Melbournes, Sydney, Queensland Roar. You know, I know we're not going to discuss them, but on paper and on form from last year, those three teams would have to be shoo-ins for the top four.
All those players you mentioned, like Bush, Timpano, Middleby, Santalab, are all former Sydney players who didn't really... apart from Robbie Middleby, didn't really make a huge impression. Santalab scored a few goals, but they're kind of like second-tier players.
There's a few names on there that catch your eyes. I mean, I'd like to see how Jeremy Brockie goes after having a great first season with the New Zealand Knights and then kind of falling off a radar a bit.
Jason Spagnuolo had one good season and kind of drifted down.
There's Chris Grossman in there as well. He's the guy, I think, from the Queensland Roar youth last year, scored a bag full of goals as well, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes. James Robinson.
It tells me, he's a one-game wonder.
The Melbourne Victory one-minute wonder.
I think also it tells you something about the new teams coming into the league. I mean, if you get somebody like the Gold Coast with a bag full of money, okay, you're obviously going to get a reasonable team together. Perhaps for teams like Canberra, Tasmania, South Coast that are talking about coming into the league, sad to say it, but the Townsville way is probably the more realistic way, because unless you've got a massive investor, you're going to be doing it on a shoestring or basically under budget. Having said that, Ian Ferguson did say that. He said, "We know," and I quote, "We know we need to get quality in. We're missing Fowler, Timpano, Robinson, and Talley." Well, yeah, okay. And an overseas player to come in on a visa spot. So, you know, when you put it like that, an overseas player to come in on a visa spot. He's got 2 under-21s he can still sign, and you know, Talley, Robinson, Timpano, Fowler. Well, Fowler probably will be injured all season, on and off. You would think. Timpano has been injured for the last 3 years, on and off. Robinson. Well,
you wouldn't really want to be relying on him for
Perth
goals.
Perth got rid
of
him, so there you go. Yeah. And Newford Talley, great player in his day, but probably, you know, his best days are behind him as well. So I think they're going to struggle.
Well, they're going to get a lot of support, aren't they? Mostly because of a lot of interest, mostly because of Robbie Fowler. I mean, that's the big news from the A-League in the off-season, wasn't it? The signing of Robbie Fowler. They're going to get a lot of support, whether or not they can produce it on the field. Depends a lot on how they create chances for him.
So the best for them isn't really to win the league. It's really to just sustain a viable performance. They're obviously a team that's going to have to build slowly, get funds slowly over time, and realistically, as long as they don't get flogged every week. And they've got home advantage. They should be able to turn that heat, particularly in the early part of the season, into
Yeah, I mean, you can look at the other side of the coin. A lot of these players have been what you might call discarded. So it usually breeds a new lease of life into players. So you just don't know. They might step it up.
And maybe Fergie's the add-in, you know, like since he left the Central Coast, a lot of people talked about Miller Jedna, yes. But I think he and Ferguson defensively, maybe he's been the thing that's undone the Central Coast, because since he's gone, they've absolutely leaked goals.
That's right. And there's no real pressure on the Fury in terms of no one saying, like, when we get to the Gold Coast that they're going to win it. There's no real pressure on them. So any point that they get out of a home game or an away game is going to be a bonus for them, and it's only just going to add to their confidence, I think. And, you know, Robbie Fowler, that's just an amazing name. I'm not a Liverpool supporter, but any Liverpool supporter, if he's 50% fit, you'd want to go pay some money to see him, because he was a great player. And, you know, I'm just hoping that he does go onto the park and do something for those fans up there, because it's just a massive name.
Not just for those, but for the whole country.
It's
really a
good point, isn't it? Everybody's writing them off already. Yeah. So, you know, like you say, it's going to be a bonus if they pick anything up. I think they'll pick up a lot of neutral support just for that fact. So we'll wait and see.
Okay, Gold Coast United, nobody's writing them off, least of all Miron Blyberg. I mean, you know, Clive Palmer says they're going to win the league without losing a game. Miron Blyberg's not far behind him. Jason Chalina came out and said, well, hang on, let's just see how we're going. But, you know, you look at the names, they do have a lot of good names. But again, the beauty of the salary cap means that you can't have 23 Jason Chalinas in the team. And when you look down there, you know, you sort of say, well, yeah, there's some good players, but, you know, are they a title winning side? I don't know. Adam Griffiths stands out for me. There's some guys like Michael Thwaite, Christian Rees, Daniel Pukowski, not world beaters in themselves, you know.
Well, I think to win the A-League, you've got to have a decent goalkeeper. And I think they've made a great signing in Jess van Straten, the ex-Juventus reserve keeper. He's going to make a big difference to them. I think any team that wins the A-League has to have a quality keeper. And I think they've started well. They've recruited very well. They've got some interesting names, as you've said, across the board there. A lot of up-and-coming youngsters that have got a point to prove as well. So, yeah, I'm quite excited about seeing them play.
Midfield, not that exciting, Bernie? Or, I mean, I know your son Stephen will force his way into the midfield maybe, but apart from that,
Stephen's going to be obviously starting off in the youth grade, and, you know, that's obviously way down the track for him.
But Jason Chalina, obviously.
Jason Chalina's going to be running the show there. The two of the Brazilians that they've come along is Jefferson and Robson. One of them's injured, so they really look good. Good. Zenon Caravello is a good player.
Big raps, you know, on James Brown as well, I hear.
James Brown, he's unfortunately injured, so he'll be out for a while. He broke his ankle. Matt Osman's a good player, Steve Fitzsimmons. You know, I think the difference is going to be knowing Miron and having been at the Gold Coast for a while now to see how they... He's just an attacking player. There's going to be a lot of... goals scored against the Gold Coast, there's no two ways about it, but they're going to certainly put a few away. Shane Smeltz, Taj Minicon and Joel Porter, I mean, that's not bad.
Bad forward line.
And Miron's not scared to use three strikers or two and one behind when the rest of the group, if you're lucky, used two strikers.
I mean, that's one of the things about the Gold Coast. They are going to bring that pizzazz to the league, which we badly need.
Yep.
But they're also, hopefully, under Miron. I mean, whilst Queensland Roar didn't perform particularly well in the first year, they were an exciting team to watch. Of concern again to me is the fact that Miron walked away from that pretty, you know, halfway through the second season, saying he couldn't do anything more. Does that say something about Miron that is, you know, he can't stick around, you know, and keep these teams going?
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened at the Roar, but, you know, listening to him talk, and he's really excited. Obviously, he's got Paul Oakon as his assistant, so they've got a great team there. Another team starting from scratch. You know, another name that you might have heard that the Gold Coast are looking at signing is Henrik Larsson for 9 games. So if that comes off, that's going to be amazing. The guy's still playing for Sweden. So
if that comes off, I'll walk to the Gold Coast to see to see Henrik play.
Is he going
to
get in ahead of Shane Smeltz?
Is he going to get in?
Don't
ahead of
think
Shane
so.
It's going to be interesting if they do sign him, and they're doing quite well. I wouldn't be surprised to see him play with 5 forwards under the old system. So anything's possible, and I've seen it. You know, we didn't mention Golgol Mbratu, who's another youngster that Miron's picked up and scored.
He picked up on a local park. An interesting story. He's Eritrean born, I think, and he come through Sudan and as a refugee. And another one of the, I guess, African refugees making his name in Australian sport. And it's fantastic. He was just playing on a local park, I think at the age of 18 or something. So he hadn't been with a club, and he picked him out of the local park and said, come and have a game. and now he's training him up. And I mean, it's an amazing story.
Yeah, and we've also got Andrew Barisic, you know, the local Canberra boy that's going to get. He scored against New Caledonia during the. On the weekend, so he's another boy to look out for. So
I think that's the quality. I mean, they've got Andrew Barisic obviously down at Melbourne Knights, so you know, down in scored a lot of goals in Melbourne. Not a lot of people probably will know him outside of Melbourne or Canberra, but again, he's going to be pushing hard as a young player, 21, 22, for a place in the side, and that's probably the difference. They've just got a better.
Well, it's got a very balanced squad, doesn't it? I mean, on paper, it looks like there's a lot of cover for positions as well. Which
just
is
one question, Russ, on the salary cap. I mean, if you're thinking the Gold Coast are spending their salary cap to get these players, what are the North Queensland Furies spending?
Well, I don't think it'd be for the want of trying. I mean, obviously, let's be honest, if you've got a choice between the Gold Coast United or North Queensland Fury in terms of football facilities, in terms of location, there's only one place to go, isn't there? I mean, a lot of people would be. I mean, you know, there's only so many spots to go around. I think. North Queensland will be able to attract some players eventually, but obviously at the moment the Gold Coast is the place to be, and I think that's the main reason why they're being able to attract all these players.
Bernie, you mentioned Adam Traore. He's an African player.
He's an Ivory Coast boy, and he's played at left back. He played against the Fury. He didn't play against New Caledonia on the weekend, and he looks, you know, he looks good. I think he's an under 21 international from the Ivory Coast. So Miron's picked up some good players, and he knows what he's doing. I mean, everyone's going to Miron and Clive Palmer are saying they're going to win it. I reckon if they can come third or fourth, that'll be a great achievement. Looking at Melbourne, Sydney, and Queensland Royal, how well they did last year. They've recruited well. They've kept their players. They haven't lost too many. So it's going to be difficult. One player that we didn't mention from the Gold Coast that's missing off our list, and I know he played on the weekend, Steve Pantelidis. Yeah. Steve won the championship with Melbourne Victory last year. He's been ever-present in the Victory side for a while.
He's on my list. I mean, he didn't get a lot of games, I didn't think, last year.
Last year he didn't, but before that he did. Yeah, and he played in the final.
He was an important member of the team, wasn't he?
He scored in the last couple of weekends for the Gold Coast. So they've got a bit of depth there, but you know, having seen them their pre-season campaign from day one since Stephen went there, they've already had a few injuries in terms of Richard Greer and James Brown have been out for a while. The three Brazilians came and showed in their first games that they are quality, and all three haven't played in the last two games. So football's a funny game. It doesn't take long for the squad to change pretty quickly.
No, okay. So that's the Gold Coast final. Very quickly, a prediction then, Bernie, you think third or fourth will be the place, or where do you think?
I'd be happy with third or fourth.
And Russ?
Yeah, I think they'll make the finals because I think they've got enough quality to do so. Whether they can win it, I think it's a step too far in the first season, but it's great to see them out there throwing their weight around.
Okay, Russ and Bernie, thanks very much for talking football. We'll be back next week to talk more, and we'll have a look at another couple of teams. That's the Gold Coast and North Queensland Fury. Plenty of games going on around the country in the next couple of weeks as well as the pre-season friendlies start. But wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're going to the near post, then
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football...